Listen, I'm going to move on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way, and I will tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. Okay, so a friend of mine served in Kandahar, Afghanistan at the beginning of the war. We were both there at the same time. We were on different teams. But at some point, we were back in the same spot together. And this friend of mine told me a story about one of the Special Forces guys that he was with who got attacked in close quarters in the streets of Kandahar and suffered a shot to the face. But the Green Beret that I'm talking about apparently immediately assessed his own wounds. He slapped something on it to stem the blood flow. He acquired his target and took out the enemy shooter. My friend told me the word on the street thereafter was, "These Americans, you can shoot them in the face, they just fix themselves and then kill you." Makes me laugh. Look, there's no denying the quality of personnel we put in the field, right? But a lot of that boils down to training and equipping of that force, and a lot of it also comes from knowing your enemy. There's a lot of talk right now about what's going on in Iran. Are we going to bomb Iran? Are we going to follow through on what President Trump has been saying for 10 years, that Iran cannot be allowed to become a nuclear weapon state? There are those that are wringing their hands and claiming that any action at all is not what they voted for, but they will also tell you in a heartbeat that they would like to have peace. There are those who desire war, too, in some kind of sick, fantastical way that war is their steady state that makes things better. I'm here to tell you it's not. But like I said the other day, I don't believe that we are, quote, going to war in the normal sense, but I also don't believe that we are going to sit idly by and pretend that people who have done bad things for decades will suddenly not pose a threat if we just turn our backs. Not for a second. Now, having said that, let me break down the Iran crisis into two categories. And so first, let's talk about our fighting posture, not the fight itself, but the fighting posture. And then let's add some historical context, because knowing your enemy is important. These two things are a large part of what makes up where we are right now, our fighting posture and history. All right, so fighting posture. If you've ever had any experience at all with firearms, you know that, like anything else, shooting is an acquired skill, right? In the military, anybody who's ever served in uniform has gone through basic marksmanship training. In the Marines, they have a saying that every Marine is a rifleman first. For many who enlist in the military, the use of firearms is their first exposure in the military to shooting of any type. And at least it's their first formal instruction. Basic shooting comes down to the basics, things like proper use and care of your weapon, body position, sight alignment, breathing control, trigger squeeze. But shooting at a fixed target at a known distance in the prone position under highly regulated conditions, that's just the introduction. The real fun, the real training, comes when you get to the point that you're able to do things like reflexive fire training. Being allowed to shoot, move, and communicate under more stressful conditions with the brain more fully engaged, like tracking your rounds, like reloading while you're still maintaining your fighting posture, like learning to stage your magazine so you can reload with your eyes closed or in the dark. And one of the most unnatural aspects of that is what is known as squaring off to your target. So here's the thing. If you're in an armed confrontation and your cover and concealment is not an option, then how you present yourself to the opposing target actually matters. The natural inclination is to slim your profile, maybe turn yourself to the side, provide less of a target by turning sideways. But when you're in combat and you're wearing body armor, the side panels of your ballistic vest, they provide very little impact protection. The true ability of your body armor to shield you comes from the protective inserts known as the sappy plates that cover the vital organs in the front and the rear. So the training for those who wear armor is to do what is unnatural, to adopt a stance that requires you to square your shoulders to the enemy, face forward. It's also a stance, by the way, that shows the enemy you mean business. It's also, like I said, unnatural. It requires some training, and truthfully, it requires a measure of faith. Now, right now, anybody who believes that Trump should turn our nation's back or narrow our nation's profile, leaving us exposed, they're wrong. It doesn't mean we have to put boots on the ground, but it does mean that we do not leave ourselves exposed. We have to present a hard target. So what you're watching right now are things like putting carrier strike groups in the Gulf, making serious demands, prepositioning our air assets, upgrading our logistical hubs. Those are the national version, if you will, of squaring yourself to the target, presenting a ready and capable and defendable position to those who have said that they intend to do us harm. How you are when the moment of conflict or confrontation or challenge arrives is going to be largely dependent upon that level of preparation you put into the occurrence well before it even happens, and how much you're willing to trust your armor as an individual when you square yourself to the target to provide that measure of protection? Well, picture that on the big side. President Trump right now is ready, and rightfully so, to use the U.S. military. But in order to get there, in order to make sure that we've done everything we can do, he's positioning us so that our posture is squared off to the enemy. Anything less would be seen as weakness. It would literally make us more vulnerable. So yeah, squaring off to the target. It's both unnatural, it's also needed. It takes practice, but it also takes believing the armor will work. That's the first piece. What you're watching right now in the big picture is the United States squaring itself to the enemy. But then there's history. Okay, so who's the enemy? What do we know about them? Who are they? What do they stand for? Well, Sun Tzu, the Chinese philosopher and military technician, he said, here's his quote. He said, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. But if you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Makes sense. You always look at your enemy. You try to get in his head. You recognize his motivations, his style, and his prior actions. It's no different than a coach watching game films of a team he's about to go up against next week. You learn their styles. You learn their capabilities. Except in this case, it's not a game. It's about life and death. Well, what does the history tell us about Iran? For thousands of years, the nation that we know today as Iran has been a thorn in the side of the Western world and the Middle East. The Persian Empire, under King Xerxes, attempted to conquer Greece. He failed. But the battle that we now know as Thermopylae with the 300 Spartans, that was their galvanizing moment that led to the formation of the Western world. Well, go ahead and take that, King Xerxes, Persians, fast forward to modern times. And the imperial state of Iran was an ally of the West until 1979. But the undercurrent in the Iranian society was a fundamentalist Islamic radicalism that wanted a theocratic control. The Ayatollah Khomeini was the leader of the movement who was living in exile, but the revolution in 1979, sparked by fighting in the streets and the murder of hundreds of innocent citizens in their nation, it led to the nation falling into chaos and the Ayatollah being flown into the country to take control right as the Iranian royal family fled. That was 1979. And just a short time later, the new Islamic Republic of Iran began setting the stage for war with the West. In November of that same year, the Ayatollah hadn't even been back but 6 months. In November of that same year, 1979, fundamentalist radicals, with the blessing of the Ayatollah, seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and took 52 Americans hostage. The hostages were paraded on TV, blindfolded, threatened, mistreated. President Jimmy Carter, the second worst president in American history, didn't understand the idea of squaring off to the enemy. He crawfished, he wrung his hands, he tried to appease them, he negotiated. Finally, realizing there was nothing else that could be done, Carter authorized a special operations mission called Operation Eagle Claw, a daring raid to go into Iran. I've met men who participated in that mission. Everything that could go wrong did wrong. But the problems were not the mission members. The problems were that we had never properly squared off as a nation to our enemy that was fine with holding 52 of our people hostage on the world stage. Ronald Reagan's the one who changed that. He guaranteed a new posture, and days after he was elected, Iran released the hostages. But since that time, 1979, Iran has continued to kill Americans. Just in the war in Iraq, we know of over 660 American soldiers that were killed because of Iranian influence. We know of Iran's direct involvement in the bombing of the USS Cole in October of 2000 that killed 17 U.S. sailors and wounded 40 others. We know of Iran's direct involvement with Hezbollah bombing the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut in 1983, killed 241 Marines. We could talk all day about Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis. Don't think for a minute, by the way, that this conflict that you're watching right now with Israel and Iran, don't think for a second that this is new. Iran has been killing Americans for decades. And if they go nuclear, they are not going to stop. History dictates that they don't value life, especially American lives. So yeah, there's two things to consider here. When you're watching the news right now, recognize two things. One is all of the forward posturing that we're doing right now. That is the national version of simply squaring off to the enemy so that our body armor is in the right posture to protect us. That's what Trump is doing. It's also, though, by the way, about knowing the bigger picture, knowing the history. Don't get yourself locked into thinking, well, I don't know about this. This brand spanking new war with Israel and Iran, this is also new. It just sprung up last week. No, it didn't. It's millennia. It's thousands of years. And just in the last 40 years, we have seen literally hundreds of Americans killed by Iran. They hate us. That's just the truth. That's their history. So this big picture moment that we're in, it's a big picture moment. It is not finite. It is not small. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.